Lamentations, and we'll look at the third chapter, Lamentations chapter 3. And we'll begin our reading tonight in verse 18. Lamentations chapter 3 and verse number 3. Akeisha passed the baby to the dad, and the baby didn't like that. Lamentations 3, verse 18, the Bible says, "And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord, remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall. My soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord." Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for all your wonderful blessings that you've given to us, and we're grateful for your word and its truth for our life. And I pray, Lord, that you would give us understanding as, Lord, we seek your face tonight, as we acknowledge you in our life. I pray, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, to find the answers that we're looking for. But I pray also that you would instill an assurance and a confidence in our heart as we wait upon you in the life that we live. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us and direct our thoughts. I pray that you would bind Satan and his demons, that your word would fall on good ground tonight. And I pray, Lord, that your word would be glorified in our hearts and in our lives. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I want us to notice, if we could, verse number 22. The Bible says in verse 22, "It is of the Lord's mercies." It is of the Lord's mercies. And this is the thrust of my message tonight. A Canadian war correspondent wrote of an experience of the eve of one of the great battles of Flanders. He wrote these words: "At about midnight, the quiet was suddenly broken by the roar of German artillery. The showers of shells began to fall upon the British trenches. The British batteries began to reply. All through the night, you could hear the noise of death's messengers. Toward the morning, the gun stopped as quickly as it began. The hush of night fell upon the field of death. And then I heard another sound," he writes. "Somewhere far above, a lark began to sing. Weary with the noise and the confusion of the strife, the little herald of dawn had mounted up until he saw the first gleam of the coming day and called the good news to those that were still in darkness, that daylight was about to come." I find in the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, especially in the middle of this chapter, that it's like a song of a lark above a battlefield. One commentary put it this way. They said, "It is a ray of light shot into a dungeon of despair." It is a ray of light that shines in a dungeon of despair. Truthfully, the book of Lamentations is a book pierced with throughout with pessimism. Nowhere in Bible literature do we find such a despondent writing. It begins with a moan. Someone said it ends with a sigh, and every chapter is filled with rivers of tears. And yet, right in the middle of this commentary are these wonderful, incredible words. This ray of light. "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not." Someone has well said, "Blessed are those who can find a merciful Father through the gate of pain and disappointment." And these are the ones that sing the lark's song. These are the individuals that through the field of despair and discouragement, they understand that God has a bigger picture in mind. You know, it's easy for us to think about the mercies of God when everything is going well in our life. It's easy for us, or I should say from the context of our scripture, it's easy for God's people to think about the mercies of God when Jerusalem is reigning among the nations. When Jerusalem's people are princes among the nations. When the fire of devotion is burning from the altar. But it is a greater thing when we focus our attention on the mercy of God when the people are trodden down. When the altars are desecrated. When sons and daughters are being taken to a strange land. You know, we all have difficult circumstances. From time to time, these events come into our lives, and it really does take the mercies of God to be able to see past those circumstances and see God's mercy in our life. His mercies that are new every morning. And this is really the wonder of the book of Lamentations. Someone said, just as it takes 7 strands of colors to weave a rainbow, it also takes difficult trials to mature the child of God. It is in the face of storm clouds and the sun nestled beside it that produces a rainbow. Without the storm, we could never enjoy the rainbow. And there's a great storm that's happening among the people of God. And yes, there's a lot of tears. Yes, there's a lot of disappointments. And Jeremiah records all of it. But don't misunderstand, this book is a book of hope. It's a book about God's mercy in a very difficult circumstance. And so let's look at this passage of Scripture together and let's glean some truths for our own life tonight. First of all, I want us to think about the reality of God's mercy. The reality of God's mercy. Among the attributes of deity, perhaps there is none as beautiful as the attribute of mercy. Mercy is wonderful. Mercy is said to be love in action. Mercy is love drying a tear-stained face. Mercy is welcoming home a wanderer who has rebelled. Mercy is love forgiving the one that has crowned you with thorns. Mercy is praying for the one who's nailed you to the cross. And make no doubt about it tonight, God is a God of mercy. He's a God of mercy. And it is this mercy that Jeremiah is focusing on. It's this mercy that he's writing about. And when we think about the mercies of God, I want us to consider some thoughts about it. First of all, think about its promptness. You know, when we think about God's mercy, it never comes late. As you go through your daily activities, you can be assured that God's mercy is always prompt. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, says Jeremiah. At the beginning of every new day, you wake up in the morning and God's mercy is new. You know, in the Christian life, we can stray away from a lot of things. But we cannot stray away from God's mercy. I mean, think about the lost son. God's love was with that son when he was dining in the banquet hall, and God's love was with that son when he was dining with the swine. It is God's mercy that is new. It is God's love and mercy that was with that son when he returned to his father, and his father greeted him with a kiss and gave him new clothes, and his relationship and fellowship was restored. It really is a wonderful picture of God's mercy in our life. We see its promptness, but we also see its perpetuity. The Bible says in verse 23, they are new every morning. It's like every morning the mercies of God reset, and it begins afresh. As long as there is God and He is forever, there will always be mercy. Wonderful. Every morning I wake up. Before I lift my head from the bed, the first thing that meets me is the mercy of God. You know, I think we would all agree tonight that there are no two mornings alike. Sometimes we have mornings of joy. Sometimes we have mornings of sorrow. Sometimes we have a morning of discouragement, depression. And sometimes we have mornings of failure. Sometimes we have mornings when we sense the presence of God, and then we have mornings that we wonder where He's at. We have mornings of hurt, and we have mornings of testing. And in those mornings, what do you rest in? Who do you trust in? What do you stand on? Well, Jeremiah rested in the mercy of God. God's mercy would not fail him. He trusted in God's faithfulness. His compassions, he says, will fail not. Great is the faithfulness of God. We see the promptness of that mercy, the perpetuity of that mercy. But let's think for just a moment the precision of that mercy. You see, with every new morning, difficult circumstances can arise. And with every difficult circumstance, God is precise in the mercy that He gives. We are a changing people in a changing world. And the mercy that I needed as a 10-year-old boy, it's not the mercy that I need today as a 42-year-old man. I want us to turn, if we could, to the book of Deuteronomy in the 33rd chapter, if we could tonight. Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse number 25. Deuteronomy chapter 33. And notice what the scriptures teach us in verse 25. The Bible says, "Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help, and in His excellency on the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And He shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, Destroy them. Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Jacob shall be upon a land of corn and wine. Also his heaven shall drop down dew. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help. And who is the sword of thy excellency? And thine enemy shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places." I want you to notice the expression that we have. The Bible says, "And as thy days, so shall thy strength be." God's mercies are new for the problems of the day. Don't borrow the problems of tomorrow. Focus on thy days as God has given to you. So shall your strength be. You see, His mercy is prompt. His mercy is perpetual. His mercy is precise. The hymn writer said, "I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from its sunshine, for its skies may turn to gray. I don't worry o'er the future, for I know what Jesus said. And today I'll walk beside Him, for He knows what lies ahead." The mercies of God, they are precise for each day. But think about the prophet. Notice how Jeremiah looked at the mercy of God. You see, his focus was not just the events of today. but God's plan down the road. All events, Paul penned, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, all things work together for good. All the events of our lives weave together to bring a greater joy. Someone said, things which we would wonder why will one day blossom into a wonderful blessing. And this was the focus of Jeremiah. Yeah, Israel was in bad shape. Jerusalem was torn down, and yet his focus was on the mercies of God. I like what someone said. They said, pain is an unripe pleasure. Taste it now, and it is bitter, but let it grow, and it will transform into a lush, ripe fruit. The Bible says, this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. You see, when we have hope in the Lord, when we depend upon the mercies of God, it brings a great comfort, a great profit in our life. Think about the reality of God's mercy, but think about, secondly, if we could, the response to God's mercy. Now let's think about the attitude that we have toward the mercies of God in our life. You know, our life is only 10% of what happens, and it's 90% of how we respond to what happens. It's 10% what happens, but 90% of the response of what happens. And we understand that attitude plays a big part in our life. Would you agree with me that God is never trying to hurt us, but he's always trying to help us? Are you awake tonight? God is never trying to hurt us. He's always trying to help us. I've said this from the pulpit for, you know, over 10 years. All of the events in our life as Christians are Father filtered. We can trust in him. And therefore, because of that, if we believe that, then our response or our attitude to these events should be different. We should, first of all, embrace our events as mercies. We should embrace our events as mercies. The events of my life should be looked at as God's mercy to us. Now think about Jeremiah in the book of Lamentations. Jerusalem is trodden down. Sons and daughters are being taken away to a strange land. And he's looking at these events and he's saying, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. The reality is Jeremiah had this attitude. He embraced what God was doing to his people. It was God's mercy. It was God's work in their life. And therefore, he embraced the events of his life as the mercies of God. But also, letter B, we should exercise the spirit of thankfulness. Now, I think I'd be the first to tell you I'm not very good at accepting what God brings into my life. I don't think I'm the only one that's guilty of that. I think we can struggle not being better but bitter. And it's hard for us to look at the events of our life as mercies and to be thankful for those things that God allows in our life. We get so preoccupied with complaining that we forget that, hey, God is allowing this in my life. God is allowing this to take place. You know, someone said this, I like this. We get angry because it rains, but we forget that the rain waters the fields. And so we're upset because it affects our life in the immediate second, but wait a minute, God has a purpose in it down the road. And we need to understand that, yeah, we have to accept these things as God's mercies in our life, but also we have to exercise the spirit of thankfulness and to rejoice that we have a loving God who is leading us and guiding us every day. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4 in your Bibles, and let's notice what the Bible says here in verse 4. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. The Bible says this, Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. You know, Christians are not to go from extremes, you know. I call it the sky is falling, you know, attitude, where we're running around like a chicken with their head cut off saying, the sky is falling, the sky is falling. We ought to have moderation and understand God's in control of the circumstances of our life. And so the Bible says in verse 6, be careful for nothing. And the thought there of be careful for nothing means don't worry about these things. Don't worry about tomorrow. 90% of the events that we worry about never actually happen. And so the advice here is be careful for nothing, but instead of worrying or being a worrier, be a prayer warrior. But in everything by prayer and supplication, look at this, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And so because we understand that the events of our life are mercies, that God allows these events to happen, we embrace our events as mercies. We exercise the spirit of thankfulness, but letter C, we enlist the practice of patience. We enlist the practice of patience. Now, Jeremiah is a prophet of patience. Time is the great factor in allowing God to work out his plan. And it's amazing what God can do in time. The Bible says in verse 25, the Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. Verse 26, it is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. This is a man of faith. I mean, he's seeing his people in great turmoil. And with tears flowing down his cheeks, he's saying, Lord, I understand you have a purpose in this. And I'm going to wait for you. I'm going to trust for you. And the Bible says it's good for us to be patient and to wait on the Lord. Someone penned these words in a song. They said, hold on, my child, joy comes in the morning. Weeping only lasts for the night. Hold on, my child, joy comes in the morning. The darkest hour means dawn is just in sight. And this is the message of Jeremiah. It's a reality of the very mercies of God. And then it's our response to God's mercy. Embrace our events as the mercies of God and exercise the spirit of thankfulness and enlist the practice of patience and have faith and trust that all things do work together for good and that God is in control. But thirdly, let's think about this. We need to rest in God's mercy. We need to rest in God's mercy. If anyone knew how to do this, to rest in God's mercy, it would be Jeremiah. I mean, listen, what an amazing man of God Jeremiah was. We call him the weeping prophet, but he wept because he cared. His heart was broken because of the rebellion of his people. Jerusalem was ruined. It was a mess. I mean, nationally, Israel is a mess. And yet we find him resting in the Lord. positionally, I mean, as a prophet, he's not respected. You know, the attitude is, who cares about Jeremiah? He's crazy. He's crying. I mean, he's a mess. Emotionally, he's beside himself. And maybe you've been there, more sleepless nights than good night's sleeps. And yet in faith, he is looking to the Lord and he's resting that God's will would be done. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Now here it is. This is the rest. Great is thy faithfulness. Listen, I'm glad that the faithfulness of God is not dependent on my faithfulness to him. Great is thy faithfulness. You know, we could call this message, God is Greater Sunday, the greatness of God's faithfulness. You know, I don't think anyone woke up this morning and wondered if the sun would rise. I don't think we woke up this morning wondering if the birds would chirp. We just know that by him all things consist. And God is a faithful God. And God is a God that can be trusted. Have you ever looked out your window and you looked outside and you think about the condition of our country, you think about the condition of our province, and think about the condition of our city, the hearts of people. And they're busy going through life and they don't give any attention to the God who made them. I often wondered how that must make God feel. And here, Jeremiah is writing about the faithfulness of God. You can imagine what people are saying to this prophet. Jeremiah, are you crazy? Look out your window. Don't you see the condition of this people? Don't you understand the condition of Jerusalem? Look at all of those women out there. They're weeping because their sons have been taken from them. The altar that we are supposed to sacrifice to the Lord is desecrated. How can you say that God is faithful? And yet, while Jerusalem was burning, there was a fire burning in Jeremiah's heart. He's weeping not for himself, but for his people and the many who would not trust in the living God. He says in verse 31, look at this, for the Lord will not cast off forever. But though he cause grief, verse 32, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. You see, whatever your plight is today, this promise is precious. And that is this, you can rest in the Lord. A mother once approached Napoleon seeking a pardon for her son. And the emperor replied that the young man had committed a certain crime twice and that justice demanded death. The mother explained, I don't ask for justice. She said, I plead for mercy. And Napoleon said, your son does not deserve mercy. And that woman cried out and said, sir, it would not be mercy if he deserved it. And the cry of that mother pricked Napoleon's heart, and he let her son free. You know, God's mercy is great. It is great. And God's mercy is for you today. That's the wonderful blessing of knowing Christ as your Savior. Is when you woke up this morning, God's mercy was brand new. And it was prompt and it was precise for what exactly you need today. Because I don't know how you woke up this morning, the troubles, the struggles that you had, but God knows. And God's mercy was for you. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. God is great in his faithfulness. God has never let anyone down, and you won't be the first. The Bible says if you trust in him, you won't be confounded. God, help us today to rely on the mercies of God. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your blessings and